Revelation chapter 4 and verse number 1. After this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this subject. Thank you for the enjoyment I received in studying this through the Bible. And I pray, Lord, that Jesus above all would be lifted up today. Jesus, you said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. And so, Lord, I'm going to do my best. Lord, it's exciting to read about heaven, study about heaven. And then, Lord, as we look around at what's going on the earth, Lord, the nearness of heaven, the nearness of heaven. And so, Lord, I pray that would become very real to us. And, Lord, that you'd move in our hearts, dear God, as we study this morning, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. All righty, very good. Back in the latter part of 2018, I began a Sunday morning preaching series on Bible windows, Bible windows. By the time I finished the series, we were into 2019 and had visited 10 different stories in the Bible that involved or included a window. We saw Noah stand at the window of hope. We saw Rahab bind that scarlet thread and hang it from the window of grace. We visited two very different marriages and viewed them through a window. We watched Sisera's mother weep at the window of reaping and Jezebel thrown to her death from the window of judgment. We observed, sadly, a simple young man throw away his purity at the window of seduction. We saw God defeat Israel's enemies and feed his nation at the window of the impossible. And what a blessing as we watched Daniel kneel three times a day at the window of prayer. Horrified as we watched a young man named Eutychus slumber, then fall from the window of carelessness. Thank God for a preacher that could pray. We watched God save a missionary as Paul was let down at the window of escape. But the very last window we looked at, when we concluded the series, was by going to the book of Malachi and finding out that heaven also has windows, and that if we were faithful in our giving of our tithes and offerings, God would open those windows, pour out a blessing upon us. Malachi 3:10, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now therewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open unto you the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, and there shall not be room enough to receive it. Yes, yes, windows, heaven has windows. But today's sermon, I'm going to focus not on the windows of heaven, but on a door, the door of heaven. In our text, we see a door. This is interesting. A door is opened in heaven. This morning, I want to share with you the significance of that door. I want us all to see exactly what happens when that door is open, and by the way, how it will change the world forever. First, let's focus, I think this is a good place to start, on the one who opens the door. See, the one who opens the door in our passage of Scripture is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, by the way, you open a door for a reason. You open a door because you're coming out. And by the way, when the story's all done, not only has he opened the door so he can come out, but he's leaving that door open so that we can come on in. And so we're going to study a little bit about this door and the timing of the opening of the door. You please pray for me as I continue on our series on heaven and preach on the door of heaven. Now, I want to stop and just talk about Jesus for a few minutes. Is that all right, man? I started studying this thing about door and the connection with Jesus pictured in relationship to a door, and I couldn't help but end up in John chapter 10. You knew that. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber, but he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep, to whom the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. When he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, and they know his voice. Verse 7, then said Jesus unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep, of the sheep. Later on that chapter, he talks about being the shepherd of the sheep. You say, preacher, how can he be the shepherd of the sheep and the door of the sheep? Because the shepherd was the door, folks. Those fold, those sheepfolds where they would put the sheep in, the way that shepherd made sure that no thief, no robber, no predator got to the sheep, as he would literally lay in the doorway, his body would be the door to the sheepfold. Jesus is the door. He's the door to heaven. Listen, if you're going to get to heaven, you're going to have to go through the door. And Jesus is the door. John 14:6, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now watch this. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Well, I figured out some other way. Well, let me tell you something. The Bible calls you a thief and a robber, and you're going to find out there is no other way. You go through Jesus or you don't go to heaven. So I couldn't help but end up in John chapter 10. And then I was over in Revelation chapter 3, and I read these words. Jesus spoke these words. John wrote them. Jesus spoke them. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come to him and will sup with him and he with me. And I thought, here's a picture of Jesus, the first one in John chapter 10, where he is the door. Now we're picturing the church. And guess where Jesus is? I know there's preachers that have used this portion of scripture, and I'm not throwing rocks at them. And they're talking about salvation. They're talking about Jesus standing at the door of somebody's heart knocking. But folks, we need to interpret the Bible properly through the context it's written in. This is not Jesus standing, knocking at the door, heart's door of some lost sinner. Sadly, this is Jesus standing outside of the church, knocking on the door, asking to come in. And the entire portion of scripture is about the church of Laodicea. And we can read on in verse 14. And to the angel of the church of Laodicea, write these things, saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. And knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, be zealous therefore, and repent. Think of those words. There are certain churches, and I think maybe sometimes I'm wondering the majority of churches in America, where if you went in there looking for Jesus, you won't find him. You'll have to go outside. He's standing out there knocking, asking to come in. Do we have everything we need? Are we gotten so prosperous and we've got the program down and we've got all of the bells and whistles and all of the people are coming and everything looks great and we have need of nothing, but where is Jesus? Is he on the inside of the door or is he on the outside of the door? And so I saw in John 10, Jesus being the door to the sheepfold, and then sadly, Jesus knocking at the door of the church house. And then I came to Revelation chapter number 4, and we read this. After this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And I said, well, amen. There's something else I can preach about. The door of heaven, the door of heaven. Jesus is the door of heaven, but there also is a door in heaven. And Jesus is about to open that door, and something significant is about to happen in Revelation chapter 4. So here's the question. What happens in this verse? Preacher, what happens when Jesus opens heaven's door? What happens when Jesus opens heaven's door? We have to understand we've just gotten done reading 7 letters to 7 churches. This is a summarization of the church age. And now we get to chapter 4, Revelation. Remember, folks, way back when Jesus appeared to John on the Isle of Patmos, he said, these things in chapter 1, write the things which thou hast seen and the things which are and the things which shall be hereafter, which shall be hereafter. Chapter 4, verse 1 is the beginning of him writing the things that shall be hereafter. And say, preacher, what is this opening of a door in heaven? What's happening here in chapter 4, verse number 1? The opening of heaven's door happens on the day of our blessed hope. The day of our blessed hope. You know, as I've started this series about heaven, I've been surprised how many times I get into a subject about heaven and that subject takes us to the end times and the subject of the end times. Well, folks, a lot of the information about heaven is in the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ. And by the way, Well, while we're enjoying heaven, there's going to be something else going on earth. We'll talk about that in just a minute. But God, Jesus, when he opens this door in chapter 4, verse 1, this is a picture of the rapture of the church, of Jesus coming back to receive his own. We read about it in Titus chapter 2. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And here's the admonition. Look at it up here on the wall. Looking for that blessed hope. What is the blessed hope, preacher? And the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. You know what? This turning of the doorknob and opening the door is? It is a fulfillment of prophecy that Jesus Christ is going to come back for his own. We've read about it in detail several times in the last few weeks. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. That we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Is he standing at the door right now with his hand on the doorknob? You know, as I'm studying this out, I'm like, Lord, I feel like this series of messages keeps taking me back to the rapture, and this is supposed to be a series on heaven, and yet I keep going back to the rapture. And I thought to myself, well, maybe the Lord wants preachers to preach on the rapture right now and to keep pointing people to the rapture and not just visit in these end times once or twice a year. I think that it's purposeful that God keeps directing the pulpits back to the rapture. You better be ready. Jesus is coming back, folks. He's coming back soon. How do you feel about that? The Apostle Paul was excited about it. He said this, for I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. You see, the opening of heaven's door happens at the moment when Christ comes back for his saints. We read the description of this, the Lord descending from heaven with a shout, voice of the archangel, trump of God, the dead in Christ rising. We which are alive and remain caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Folks, listen to me. It's a wonderful day for those of us that are looking forward to his coming. Now, how many times in a week's time I say under my breath, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. It's a glad day for those of us that are excited about Christ coming back. It's a day to long for. It's a day to look for. It's a day to love. Now listen, folks, one of these days the doors open. Do you hear what the voice said when the door flew open? Come up hither. Come up hither. The living saved will be caught up. The resting saved will be resurrected. We will see Jesus. We'll be reunited with our saved loved ones who've gone on before us. Folks, it'll be a day, read about it, chapter 4 of worship, a day of rewards, come on, and regrets, come on, a day of happy and sad tears, come on, a day of transformation. We're going to be changed. It'll be a glorious day. Here's the question before we leave this point. Are you ready? Are you born again? Have you received Jesus Christ as your Savior? And if you have, are you excited? Are you looking for his return? Number one, the opening of heaven's door happens on the day of our blessed hope. But I'm going to spend time on point number two. Listen to this. The opening of heaven's door signals the beginning also of something else. The beginning of the tribulation period. Matthew 24 tells us, then shall two be in the field. Two men working in the field side by side. One shall be taken and the other left. Two men shall be grinding at the mill. The one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. And yes, is this a catching up time? Is this a rapture time for those of us that are saved? Absolutely, but not everyone's going. The Bible said there'll be two in the field. One will be ready. One will be a Christian. One will have received Christ, be raptured away. What about that one that's left, preacher? What about the one who don't go with Christ through the door? What happens to them? We need to ponder that this morning. Because you see, Revelation doesn't end in chapter 4, verse number 1. Very purposefully, it lays the groundwork for everything else that's going to be covered. Folks, listen to me, in the next 11 or 12 chapters in the book of the Revelation. And you know what we find? We find chapter number 5, verse number 1. Watch this. And I saw on the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written wherein on the backside sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, I love this, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look therein. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the 7 seals. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne of the 4 beasts and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having 7 horns and 7 eyes, having the 7 spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. Fast forward over a chapter, Revelation chapter 6, folks. Listen, it's good that we say these things. I lament that there's so little fear of the Lord. I wonder at people who just casually trample under the gospel. And yet I think to myself, it is the job of the pulpit to keep the fear of the Lord before the people. You know what? Let me say this. It's a wonderful thing to be saved, but it's going to be a horrible thing to be lost and left behind if you do not go up in the rapture. What about these 7 seals on this book? Well, in chapter 6, verse 1, we see the Lord Jesus, the only one who's worthy to begin to break the seals of this book. Verse number 1, and I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the voice of thunder, one of the 4 beasts saying, come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Folks, this is a man that has a bow with no arrows. So it's like some of us, they're going to have guns and no ammunition if the liberals have their way, amen. And you know what? Here's this false white horse of a false peace, and he's going to come forward and he's going to appear to be the new leader, and he's going to go forth and conquer. And listen, that's just the first seal. There is going to come, folks, watch this, one that's going to have the answers. There's so many things that I'm looking at in this day and age, so many things I'm pondering, so many things I'm watching. And I'm watching America give up its freedom, and I'm watching America just fall in line, and I'm watching America just do whatever they're told, and whether it's reasonable, unreasonable, whether it makes sense or doesn't make sense, and most of it are based on lies, and yet we're just falling for it. And listen, what I'm telling you is this, we better wake up because we're all being prepared. Something is going to happen in this world. Something to the scope where one leader is going to come up and seem to be able to solve the problem for all of our woes. Preacher, how can all of these Christians disappear and people not know what's going on or understand what's going on? The Bible, we'll read this later on, says that you know what? The wicked one will send them strong delusion and they'll believe a lie. And you know, I got to thinking to myself, I mean, do you realize that we just went through an entire global shutdown where every single person almost on the planet was restricted to the confines of their home? You realize that we at that time were only be allowed to be fed the information that they gave to us? What am I saying? I'm saying some things are being set up. You know, folks, and if we'll believe all of the hype about this, what if something devastating really happens? What if the judgment of God that shakes this world once the Christians are out is something that causes, devastation and death? What happens then? It's going to be very, listen, I don't know exactly what it's going to be, but it can be very easy for the world to buy into the lie that all of these people that are gone, well, the government's going to tell you what happened to them. By the way, stay locked up in your homes. Don't come out till we clean up the mess. Then we'll give you an explanation. Folks, listen to me. These things that we're seeing this year, man, I ought to, as a Christian, get us excited. But we ought to also understand that this, when that door, listen, when it opens, Jesus is coming out. It stays open. He gets his own. He brings him into heaven. But when that door slams, it's the beginning of the tribulation period here on earth. We read 7 seals here in chapter number 6, the second one, verse 3. When he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth. False peace followed by real war, that they should kill one another, and there was given unto him a great sword. What follows war? Famine. We talked about that in Sunday school. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast come and see, and I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand, and I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts saying, a measure of wheat for a penny, three measures of barley for a penny. See thou hurt not the oil and the wine. Folks, listen to me. This world's going to be turned inside out, upside down. There are now wars and rumors of war, but they won't be rumors anymore. Once Jesus comes back, this world's going to be, I believe, lit on fire. I believe it'll be go into mass chaos and conflict. I don't know what's going to trigger it. I don't have to understand what's going to trigger it. But I'm going to tell you again, watching what I just watched, all of a sudden, it's making perfect sense, all right? And all of a sudden, now you can't get food. And all of a sudden, by the way, whoever is holding control of the food is going to control the people. And all of a sudden, it's your children. Come on now. That's why you don't want to be left behind. It's your children. It's your grandchildren. I mean, be glad you're saved. You won't have to experience it. Yeah, that door in heaven opened. Jesus stepped out on the clouds. Come up hither. All of us that are saved, we're out of here. But when that door slams, tribulation begins on earth. Folks, there's seven seals. We could go down and read the rest. And here comes death writing verse 7. And when he had opened the fourth seal, and I heard a voice and the beast, and I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And his name that sat on him was death, and hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword, with hunger, with death, and with the beasts of the earth. Now, listen to me. If a fourth of the population of the world is going to die in a very short amount of time, you think they're going to be worried about a handful of Christians that disappeared and what happened to them? Chaos is going to ensue. We've got the fifth seal, Bible says in verse number 9, and when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God. People, you say, preacher, will people get saved during this time? I'm going to explain that in just a minute. But the ones that get saved are going to be hunted down. The ones that won't take the mark of the beast will be hunted down and will be killed and destroyed, or they'll die of starvation because you'll take the mark of the beast. And by the way, according to the Bible, this isn't Jerry Ross's opinion. You take that mark, you ensure that you're going to spend an eternity in hell. The ones that refuse will die. And you know what? That's the souls that we find under the throne there. How about verse number 12? And I beheld it. When he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island was moved out of their place, and the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondsman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the throne of him that sitteth on the throne, from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? You say, preacher, what a terrible tribulation period. That was horrible. Sure, I'm glad it's over. Folks, that is the sixth of seven seals. But after the seals, we're going to have seven trumpets. And after the trumpets, we're going to have seven golden vials that are the wrath of God poured out without mixture. You know why I'm pointing to that door of heaven and reminding you that Jesus is the door, and you're not going to get in any other way? You can rely on your good works. You can be active in your religion. You can go out and do your good deeds, and you can say, I'm good enough without Jesus to make it on my own. And folks, you will have to live through this. I'm blowing the trumpet, seven seals, seven trumpets. Look at verse number 8, chapter number 8. You see this, folks? I mean, here we have the trumpets beginning in verse number 2. Go down to verse number 7. The first angel sounded. I'm just going to give you a sampling. First angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood. They were cast upon the earth, and the third part of the trees was burned up, and all the grass green grass was burned. We said that, we seen that last sixth seal where it sounds like God took his hand, just shakes the world, says the mountain and the islands are moved out of place. And everything is so unstable that people are afraid to live in their houses. So they go in rocks and dens, and their life becomes so miserable. They're begging for the rocks to fall on them and kill them and crush them. But that is just the beginning of sorrows. When then we end up with this, raining down hail and fire mingled with blood. And then the second trumpet, verse 8, the angel sounded as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood. Very well, could be a meteorite. And folks, do some reading on this and do some studying on this. It's not an unusual thing for one of these things to come near Earth. Well, preacher, but all the scientists have looked, and if there was anything that was really dangerous, first of all, let me remind you that God can speak and direct a comet or a meteorite anywhere he wants it to go. Okay, so I don't care what the scientists say. And it's amazing how many times scientists are shocked or surprised or saying, we didn't see that happen. When did that happen? Bible says then in verse 9, third part of the creatures which were in the sea and and had life died. And there was a third part of the ships were destroyed. And folks, I mean, this just keeps rolling and rolling on. So, preacher, God sure is mean. Some of you young people, God's mean. No, God loves you. He sent Jesus to die on the cross for your sin. He's done everything. He made a door for heaven. He made sent Jesus as the door of the sheepfold. You know what? He shouldn't, let me say this again, be standing outside of the average church that are sitting in there thinking they got it all together, got everything they want. Look at us. The offerings are pouring in, and aren't we popular? We're the biggest church in town, and you couldn't find an ounce of holiness in the whole place. And nobody's preaching on sin, and nobody's preaching on hell, and nobody's preaching on getting right with God. And they're just signed up to go along with the direction of this world and sprinkle a little Jesus on top and call it church. God help us. But I'm going to tell you something. Jesus is the door, and he sent Jesus to die for your sins. But if you reject Christ and you refuse to accept him as Savior, these are the things that await. Seven trumpets, they're chronicled here. The third one, verse number 10, And the third angel sounded, there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the mountains of the water. And the name of the star is called Woodworm. And the third part of the waters became Woodworm, and many men died. Listen, I believe it's God's creation. I'm talking about God's, I talked about the first heaven, the second heaven, and the third heaven. I'm talking about the second heaven literally being used as a means of judgment to unleash. God's using his creation to unleash judgment upon mankind on this earth. How about verse 12, the fourth trumpet, the fourth angel sounded, the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars. Watch this. So as the third part of them was darkened, the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of the heavens, saying with a loud voice, whoa, 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 to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound. Now listen, folks, good night. I could go through the entire book of Revelation. I'm hoping I'm getting my point across. We haven't even reached the vials yet. That's the judgments that are going to be pulled out without mixture, which means the first 14 judgment, there's a mixture of a little of the mercy of God in what he's doing. You know why? Because he's still sending the two witnesses in to preach the gospel. He sends an angel to circumvent the globe and from heaven preach the glorious gospel. He sends 144,000. Not a one of them is a Jehovah Witness, by the way. 144,000 to preach the glorious gospel. You know why he's pouring it out without mixture at the beginning? Because he still loves mankind. And he's still hoping people will turn and accept Jesus. But folks, listen to me. The people, watch this. The people that will get saved during that time period will not be the ones that had an opportunity to be saved before the rapture. I'm going to get that to you. I'll read that to you in just a minute. Seven golden vials. What are you saying, preacher? This is an awesome door, an amazing door, and a door that we look up and call the blessed hope. It's a door that's going to open and we're going to hear, come up hither. It's a door that's going to cause Jesus to step out on the clouds. And then we're going to be caught up in the clouds to meet Jesus. And we're going through that door. But when that door slams shut, folks, tribulation period is unleashed upon those that are left behind. Let me give you the third and last thing. The opening of heaven's door slams shut. your opportunity to be saved, your opportunity to be saved. You know, it's sad because in Matthew 25, we get the, we have and can read the parable of the 10 virgins. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps, went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise, 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps, took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, talk about that midnight cry. And at midnight, there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins rose, trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. The wise answering, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. Watch this. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in. They that were ready went in with him to the marriage. And then this last little phrase, and the door was shut. And the door was shut. Afterwards came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered, saying, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Then here's the warning. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Matthew 24, but as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Days of Noah were. But as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying, giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Preacher, it'll be like the days of Noah, yeah. And there was a shutting of a door in the days of Noah. Genesis 7, and they went in unto the Noah into the ark, 2 and 2 of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. And they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. Folks, think about the slamming of a door. Think about a door slamming. Doesn't matter where you're at in a building, if somebody slams the door, all of a sudden everybody stops and looks at each other. What was that? We're not talking about a door that's carefully closed. We're talking about the slamming of a door. And on the day of the rapture, a door is going to slam. That door is going to be your opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Preacher, I thought there were going to be some people that were saved. You mentioned that during the rapture. There are. But the people that have heard the gospel and had a chance to be saved before the rapture will not be saved after the rapture. God's going to take those messengers and he's going to go and focus, yes, on Israel. And a lot of the gospel is going to be God turning back to the Jews during those last times. But the Bible says there'll be people from all kindreds and tongues that will be saved during that time. But folks, be careful. Well, wait a minute, wait a minute. I'm not saved, but preacher, I'm going to tell you what, I'm listening, I'm taking notes. And you know what? When the Christians disappear, then I'll know that this is true, and I'll know that it's time to be saved. Then I'll believe, I'll get saved when that happens. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, and all power and signs and lying wonders, talking about the Antichrist, the beast, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of truth that they might be saved. For this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, nor but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Folks, again, I can't tell you how it's going to happen. I can't tell you exactly. But I think 2020 has given us enough of a front seat to see that there's all kinds of things that could be unleashed globally across this nation that'll affect the entire world. Folks, we went literally in a 2 or 3 week period from just hearing a few news stories warning about the potential danger of this to being on global lockdown. And think about this. This is with the Christians and the preachers standing in the pulpit saying all the right things. This is with Christians serving in our as politicians. This is with the remnant still here. And people still, there's still people on the internet in different places crying out warning and saying, you better look at the Bible. But all of that will be gone.
Yes, sir.
And if you won't believe the gospel truth, you'll believe the devil's lie. Okay, that's the way it's going to happen. You know, God's good. The Bible doesn't say the wicked one. God just going to send strong delusions. They'll believe a lie. You know what? The whole idea of remembering this sermon and now I'm going to be saved. Let me tell you something. Once the Christians are taken out, you're going to be so busy just trying to survive and trying to come up with an answer. And I think one of the delusions, I'll just tell you this, I think one of the reasons people's going to be confused, can you just hear me out for a second, about, well, were all those people that disappeared Christians? I hate to say this, but there's so many people that are truly saved that you couldn't even tell it. I think there's going to cause confusion. By the way, I think there's so many people that act like they're saved that won't be taken. It's going to be pretty easy to say, well, if that was the rapture, so-and-so would be gone. Or if that was the rapture, so-and-so wouldn't be gone. Because you know what, folks? Salvation is something that happens in the heart. And I think there's a lot of game play, and I think there's a lot of fake Christianity out there. But listen to me. I think there's a lot of churches. Some of these churches are going to have the same people walking in doing the same services. Well, if it was the rapture, then why is the biggest church in town still running strong? Okay, well, maybe it's because one of those churches, Jesus was outside knocking in, saying, hey, if you'd open, I'd come in and sup with you. Okay, and you with me. I don't know what all this, but I know this, folks. One of these days, that door's going to come open. See, preacher, is this a sermon on heaven? Yep, there's a door in heaven. And one of these days, it's going to open. Let me tell you something. The King of Kings, Lord of Lords is coming through. Okay, the Lamb that was slain from the foundations of the earth is going to step out on a cloud. He is the blessed hope. You know what? For those of us that love His appearing, there's going to be a crown of righteousness. I'm excited about the idea of Jesus coming back. I get more excited with every day. Yes, my heart's been heavy, and I think I've dealt with the same frustration many of you felt during the last few months. But underneath all that, there's this excitement because it's like, okay, that's it. This is what's going to happen. Something like this is going to happen. And I'm going to tell you something. You get the Christians out. You get the power of God out of here and the presence of God out of here. And you know what? You let the devil take over. It's going to be hell on earth. And for those that aren't saved, it'll be hell on earth until they die. And then it'll be real hell for all eternity. Oh, are you saved today? Have you taken it serious? Don't take a chance on salvation. Heavenly Father, please, Lord, help us, Lord, to be ready. Help us to understand. Help us to see what Jesus called the signs of the times. He rebuked the Pharisees. He said, can't you look at the sky and tell when a storm's coming? He said, nobody knows the day or the hour, but can't you look around and see the signs of the times? Can't you see that I'm coming? Jesus, thank you that one of these days you're going to step out of heaven. And you're going to come get us. Lord, we long for that day. Lord, we pray for that day. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. But Lord, I pray, dear God, if there's anyone here without Jesus Christ as their Savior, that they would come to an altar and be saved and mean it, nail it down, know for sure. Lord, we have a message that we need to bring. And Lord, I pray, dear Lord, that you'd help us to blow the trumpets. So I believe with all my heart, Christ is soon to come. We pray these things in Jesus' name.